Well, open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm just going to read one verse now, verse 15. I've got two bookmarks in my Bible. One's in Luke 2, which Mr. Wearson read for us, and the other's here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll be going back and forth a little bit in this sermon. At the beginning, more in Luke, and then at the end, we'll be more in 2 Corinthians. But let me just read this verse. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. An indescribable gift. That's what Paul's talking about. In other words, human words are unable to capture or explain fully this gift that he's talking about, that he's thanking God for here in this passage. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The gift that he's talking about can't be described, so that whatever you say about it, there's always something more that remains to be said to do it justice. What could possibly make a gift indescribable? And the answer to that question is, it means it must be more than human. It's a more than human gift that he's talking about. When Paul wrote this verse to the Corinthians, he had been writing about and been thinking about human gifts and human giving. He had been writing about the gifts of the Corinthians to the poor believers who were in Jerusalem. They had made a start making a collection to give to these fellow believers who live far away in Jerusalem. They had determined to give and participate in this gift with other churches as well to these believers in need. And then they had been interrupted. Their good intentions had been interrupted, actually, by a rift, a temporary rift in their relationship with Paul, which is a story to itself. But now that was over. Things have been resolved with Paul. And so he was urging them. That's the point of these two chapters that he ends with this thanksgiving. He's urging them to complete the thing that they determined to do in giving a gift and completing what they determined to do. He's saying there's still time. There's still an opportunity, and you need to complete what you've already determined to do. But now his mind turns to God's gift of Christ to his people. And he pens these simple words, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This morning, I want to give you three reasons why Christ is an indescribable gift to you. And the first is this: the nature of the gift itself is more than human. The gift of Christ to you, the nature of the gift itself is more than human. And so when Mary gave birth to her firstborn son there in the stall, she gave birth to the creator of all the creatures. Her child was more than human. He was the creator of all the creatures. When she wrapped him in cloths, she wrapped the creator of all creatures in swaddling clothes. And when she laid him in a manger, she laid the creator of the sun and moon and stars in a manger. He was more than human. He is the indescribable gift. Christ was the son of Mary. She gave birth to him. He was, in another way, the son of Joseph, legally, by right. He was the son of David. That's what the angels announced. He was the son of the Most High. And he was the son of God. And so he was more than human. He was not born for his own sake. That is, he didn't come to help himself. He didn't come to be served. He didn't come in this way to be served. He was born to help us. He was born to save his people from his sins. And so God's own son came to earth. That's the Christmas story. And he came to earth to save. He came in such a way that he showed the world utterly foolish by his entrance. And so not a single person in Bethlehem showed any goodwill towards him when he came to be born there. There was no room found for them in the end. This pregnant mother with her husband about to give birth, and nobody gave them their place, their warm place to stay. And so this is the way he was regarded by the earth. He was not acknowledged. He was not even noticed in his presence, the creator of all the universe coming into the world to save, and he wasn't noticed. Meanwhile, all heaven rejoiced in his birth. It was a different story in heaven, with a joy that could not be contained but had to break out on earth. And it did so to unsuspecting shepherds who in the same region were staying out in the fields and keeping watch by their flock at night. And suddenly an angel came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. God's son didn't take a baby's body to himself and become a helpless newborn because it made his entrance into the world more impressive. It didn't. It didn't make his entrance into the world impressive at all. No, he came in this way. He came to save God's own son, God himself, coming into the world to save. He came in this way as a helpless newborn baby to distribute his kind mercy to human beings and to redeem them from sin and death and hell by coming in this way and then growing up to die on a cross in the place of sinners, to pay the penalty for sins and rise again to give those who would trust in him eternal life as a gift. And so here at Christmas time, as you reflect and consider the indescribable gift, which is Christ himself, you have the proof that all of this is true, that he came to save sinners. If God had not wanted to save, he wouldn't have taken on flesh and blood and been born as a baby, because he took on flesh and blood to himself so that he could carry in that flesh and blood, in that body, sin and trouble and all kinds of misery of those that he came to save. That's the point. And he came to do that as a gift. But is that gift for you? Is it for you? How many times do you ask that when you give gifts to each other? Who's this one for? Is this one for me? And the way that you can know is by reading the tag. See what it says. Who is this gift addressed to? And see if your name is on it. Well, what about this gift? Is this gift addressed to you? Is it for you? Well, what did the angel say to the shepherds? Verse 10 of Luke 2. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy." I bring you good news of great joy. Verse 11. "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And so the good tidings of this gift was certainly for the shepherds. But what else does it say? Verse 10 again, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." It's not only for the shepherds, it's for all the people. And I think they must have understood that, these Jewish shepherds, to mean the whole nation. It's not just for you, shepherds, but it's for the whole nation as well. Not only is it for the whole nation, but then when all the angels appeared to the shepherds, what do they sing? Verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom he's well pleased." And so it's not just for one nation, the nation of the shepherds, but it's for the whole world. It's addressed to the shepherds. This good news is addressed to the whole world. It's addressed to you as well. And this is why the shepherds who heard the message and then saw the baby told anyone who would listen and went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as been told them. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. They told anyone who would listen, because the message of good news and this gift is addressed to you. It's addressed to all. So you can be sure that this gift is for you. It's addressed to you, unless the angels were lying in what they told the shepherds about this child. It's for you. A child is born today for you. It's not only for you, it's for all the people. It's not only for all the people in the nation, but it's for the whole world, because it's the announcement, the birth of this child brings peace on earth. And so if you believe this child is God, that is, that he is an indescribable gift, a gift by nature more than human, because he's God himself. If you believe that he was born to save helpless sinners, and that's why he came in this way, and if you believe that he was born for your good, if you seek peace of conscience nowhere else, certainly not in yourself, but only in him, then you will be able to have courage against sin, against death, against guilt, against Satan, against hell, against every kind of trouble. Nothing will be able to stand against you, because you can be sure that God is for you. And when you come to stand before the judgment seat of God on the last day, God the judge will not condemn you, but will cause you to stand before him on that day in his love for his own son to receive your reward, amazingly, with tears of joy. Yes, if you really believe that Christ was born for you, that this gift is for you, you would have no trouble, no suffering, no trial, no set of circumstances that you wouldn't gladly face, because you know that Christ, the creator of the universe, is on your side without reservation. And you'd be taught by the story of his birth that you should regard the world as blind and ignorant because it can't see the work of God. Even when it's right in front of its face, it can't perceive it for what it is. And so God is on your side if this child was born for you. And he's born for you if you'll receive him to yourself as a gift. So the nature of this gift is more than human. That's why it's an indescribable gift, because it's the gift of God himself come to save. So have you received this gift? It's addressed to you. Is this gift yours, the indescribable gift of Christ born for you, so that you can say for certain, Christ was born for me? This is what Christmas is about. Christ was born for me on Christmas Day. How shameful, how wicked, for this gift to be addressed to you and yet not belong to you, because you won't receive it, because you won't believe it. And so let this gift be yours today. Not only to have it addressed to you, that's not enough, but to actually possess it as your own by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. So three reasons why Christ's birth is an indescribable gift to you. Three reasons why Paul says to the Corinthians at the end of speaking to them about giving, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And the first reason is the nature of the gift that he's talking about is more than human. The second reason, the grace by which this gift is given is more than human. That's why it's an indescribable gift. The grace by which this gift is given is more than human. Who are you getting presents for this year? And are they people who have some claim on you? Like, do they share the last name, the same last name that you have? Are they members of your family? Are they people who have helped you in some way in the past? Did they give you a Christmas gift last year? And even if you give a gift this year to someone who has no special claim on you, and the only reason you're giving them a gift is because of their great need, and there's no other claim upon you than they have than that, even then, they're still members of the human race. And in that sense, they have at least that in common with you, that they're fellow human beings, and at least they have that claim upon you. But God is not a member of the human race. And so when the angels announced to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, I bring you great news of great joy, which will be for all of the people." When the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, among whom he is well pleased," the grace by which this was given is more than human, because God is not a member of the human race. Most of our gifts have nothing to do with this kind of grace, the grace by which this gift is given, and that makes this gift to be indescribable. It makes it to be beyond words, like nothing else we've ever known or seen. So it's an indescribable gift because it's not given to, God didn't give it to us because he had something in common with us. It's a gift that's given to strangers. It's a gift given to those who have no claim upon God at all, because it's given to men, and he is God. But it's more than that. It's the grace of this gift is that, and it's more. Because the Bible doesn't speak of God's grace for strangers. The Bible speaks of God's grace for sinners who are in rebellion against him. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's a grace that's human, and that is some people, if they're really brave, if they're really courageous, are willing to give their life for a good man, for a fellow soldier, let's say, someone wearing the same uniform as they are. For a good man, perhaps some would even dare to die, but God demonstrated his own love in this, that while we were his enemies, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that makes this an indescribable gift, because it's a gift that's given to those who are enemies by a grace that is more than human, a grace that humans don't see and don't understand and can't put into words. And so that's the second thing that makes this an indescribable gift. And yet there's no sin too great. There's no sinner too vile to be blessed with this indescribable gift and to be blessed by the grace which motivates the giving of this indescribable gift. To be told the glad tidings, Christ is born for you. Though you're an enemy to him, though you're a sinner, though you're a rebel, Christ is born for you as a gift. And so the grace by which this gift is given is more than human. And that's why Christ's birth is an indescribable gift to you. So three reasons this morning why Christ's birth is an indescribable gift to you. The nature of the gift itself is more than human. There's no way to put it into words. Christ himself is the gift, and he is God. He is God in human flesh come to save. He's the gift offered to you, and it's an indescribable gift. Second, the grace by which the gift is given is more than human. It's grace for strangers, not only grace for strangers, it's grace for sinners. And so it's a grace that can't be put into words. It's part of the indescribable gift. The third reason why Christ's birth to you is an indescribable gift is the effects this gift produces are more than human. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." The gift that he was thinking about is the one I've been talking about, Christ born for you, God's gift of Christ to you. And so the indescribable gift that he writes them here at the end of this section on giving to the Corinthians refers back to what he told them in chapter 8 and verse 9 of the same book, 2 Corinthians. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be rich." So we've seen the gift, it's Christ through his poverty becoming poor in order that his people might become rich. And he says, you know that grace. You've heard of that. You're Christians that he's writing to you. And so you know the grace. It's a grace more than human. It's the grace of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a grace that's more than human. But look at the way he's used this word grace in this whole section of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given to the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord." It's a grace that's more than human, that's given in Christ, and yet it's been experienced in the churches of Macedonia when they put together this gift. Verse 6. "So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this grace," this gracious work as well, the same grace that was shown in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this grace," this same grace also. It's the same grace, though it's more than human, although now it's human beings that are exercising it. Chapter 9 and verse 8, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." So it's a grace that's more than human, and yet it's Christians are using it. Christians are, it's motivating their giving as well, as Paul writes this. How can this be? And the answer is all Christian giving is carried out in the light of God's inexpressible gift of Christ, and so for that reason partakes of the same indescribable character as God giving his gift to us. The effect of the giving of the indescribable gift, the effects that it produces are more than human. And so the initial indescribable gift of God and the giving of that gift produces a whole framework of giving. And that's what he's inviting the Corinthians into their gift to the saints in Jerusalem and his collection. It all stands in that framework that's initiated by the indescribable gift of Christ. And it's mutually reinforcing, so that when one Christian gives, it encourages other Christians to give, and it redounds all and snowballs because of this. It's all based on the indescribable gift, which is Christ, and the effects of that gift, which are also more than human. And so Paul sees and recognizes a more than human grace in the giving of the churches in Macedonia that he tells the Corinthians about, and in their own giving that he urges them to do. He sees a more than human grace, and he calls their attention to that. How is it more than human? How's their giving of a gift to the churches in Jerusalem more than human? Well, in merely human giving, which is describable because it's not more than human, what you give, you lose, and it's gone. But in this giving, which is the effect of the indescribable gift, what you give is replenished. So that when you give, you don't have a lack. It only means you have more to give in a different way. That's the nature of this giving. And if it sounds strange, it's an effect of the indescribable gift, and it continues to be indescribable in its effects. And so this is why Paul talks about the churches that gave beforehand, that have already given to this fund, and he says about them, their poverty overflowed into generosity. He said that about the churches of Macedonia. In a greater deal of affliction, chapter 8, verse 2, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Their giving is partaking of the character of this indescribable gift. It's something indescribable. It's something hard for him to put into words, because it's something that sounds absurd for poverty to overflow into the wealth of liberality. And yet this is what has happened in the churches of Macedonia that he writes them about, because of the effects of the indescribable gift, which is Christ. This is what he says to the Corinthians as well about their giving. Chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Your giving won't give you lack, it'll give you an abundance, he says, because it's an effect of the indescribable gift. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. And so their giving is a more than human giving. It's a giving that doesn't result in lack. It results in more abundance and more giving and more increasing thanksgiving to God. In merely human giving, you give in order to try to meet what the law requires. And let me remind you what the law requires. It requires you to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so in giving that is merely human, that's not a result of receiving this indescribable gift of God and your giving participating in that, but it's just merely human giving. You give in order to try to meet the standard of the law, but you can never quite meet the fulfillment of the law, because the harder you try, the more your heart resents God in the midst of that effort. And so the closer you get to the standard of actually loving your neighbor as you love yourself, the farther away and the more out of reach it becomes. But the giving that results from receiving this indescribable gift is more than human, in that this giving doesn't just aim to meet commands, it overflows them, so that the commands are hardly necessary. That's what he says here about the giving of the Macedonians. Chapter 8, verse 3, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord." Not because they were trying to measure up to command, it just came out of them, of their own accord, "begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." This is what he says about the Corinthians as well, chapter 8, verse 7. "Just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also." I'm not speaking this as a command. That's why I read this part. He says, I'm not commanding you to do this. "I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also." He wasn't trying to inspire a merely human giving for them. If he would have just given them a command. Just give. I'm Paul. I'm the apostle. Just give. To this contribution. He wanted to inspire in them a giving which was more than human. And so he told them about the giving of the Macedonians, an indescribable kind of giving, a more than human kind of giving. And he's going to say at the end, it's all based on the indescribable gift of God. But here he tells the Corinthians, I'm not telling you to give like a command, but I'm proving the sincerity of your love and this gracious work, the same gracious work which is in the Macedonians, indescribable gracious work that it's welling up in your heart and overflowing just like it's welling up in theirs. Titus is, he's mentioned at the end of chapter 8, and he's part of this framework of giving that results from the indescribable gift and is more than human. And he fits in. He's going to be part of kind of the security guard, so to speak, delivering this gift to Jerusalem and making sure there's nothing that even appears to be not appropriate about the giving of this gift, or that the gift would be put in someone's pocket somewhere. And so Titus has agreed to go with, just to ensure there be no appearance of evil. And it says in verse 16, "But thanks be to God who put the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal when we asked him to do it, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord." In Titus's heart is a giving that is more than human. And so he doesn't just answer the apostles' appeal. No, he wants to, even before they ask him. He wants to do this because there's a giving that's had a birth in his heart, which is more than human. Chapter 9, verse 1, "For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry of the saints, for I know your readiness." Paul says, I'm just reminding you, I don't really need to pressure you to do this. It's superfluous. It's unnecessary for me to command you because I know you're already willing to give. It's an effect of your indescribable gift. Chapter 9 and verse 7. "Each one must do just as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." This giving, he says, is it's not in answer to a command, and it's not under compulsion. It's not when you're forced to do this. It is a giving that is done cheerfully. It comes out of a cheerful heart that would give whether commanded to or not. The shepherds are a good example of this kind of giving, I think, in their part in the Crispus story. I noticed they're never commanded to go seek out the child. They're just told that a child is born in the city of David. There's a sign for them if they want to go. They're never commanded, now you go and find out this child. But what do they say? Verse 15, "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. No one told them to go see the child. No one told them to tell others about the child afterwards, but the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as been told them. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. So when you see that Christ has taken on your flesh and has made it his own in order that he might be kind to you and might save you from the worst sin and death, it means that you should, so to speak, clothe yourself in your neighbor and in his flesh as if it were your own and act in kindness to him. I use that kind of language. It says something similar to that in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 8. It says, when you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. It says, if put his flesh, you see him in need, put his flesh on yourself and then act accordingly. Or Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them and those who are ill-treated, since you yourself are also in the body. And so the receiving of the indescribable gift of Christ should cause a kind of giving to well up, a giving that's more than human to well up in your heart towards others. It could mean giving a gift. Could even mean giving a Christmas gift to someone. Could mean giving a kind word to someone. Could mean giving your time. Could mean giving the gospel. That's the most important thing that you can give to someone. It could, in some cases, mean giving your life for others. But if you believe the message that the angels sang is for you, then it means that the goodwill of God is for you in abundance. On earth, peace among men in whom he's well pleased. God is well pleased with all who received the, who receive this gift. And so if the goodwill of God is yours in abundance, your heart is glad when you find someone to pass on so much goodwill to, according to the same example of Christ. And the more undeserving that person is of that goodwill, the better it is. And so good to others flows out of an overflowing good conscience in Christ for those who have found it in the goodwill offered to them in the free gift of Christ. Whoever's not ready to give to others in this way, and that's what Paul says about the Corinthians, I know you're ready to give. You just lack the opportunity. I'm giving you the opportunity. But I know you're ready to give in this way because you've received the indescribable gift of Christ. And I know you're ready to give in a way that is indescribable to others. Whoever's not ready to give to others in this way has not yet received the indescribable gift of Christ or needs to be reminded that he has. And that's often the case with us. We need to be reminded that we've received this gift of Christ. And yes, it really is the receiving of a gift for free, the indescribable gift of Christ that will set you free to give in this way. Nothing else will, to give in a way that is more than human. It can only be the result of receiving a gift yourself that is more than human. So it's the receiving of the indescribable gift of Christ for free that actually kills the old nature. The old nature that would rather die than give an advantage to anyone. And it's the receiving of this indescribable gift of Christ that not only kills that old nature, but gives rise to a new nature that delights in giving to others because it's full to overflowing with the good will of God, that delights in giving to others even unto death, knowing that Christ has conquered death and sin and hell for us. He doesn't need you to give in this way. He can accomplish all of his purposes apart from you. That's what Mordecai said to Esther. If you're not willing to help, God will raise up help in another way. He doesn't need you. So he doesn't need you to give to others in order to accomplish his purposes, but it's the sign that you have received the indescribable gift because the effects the indescribable gifts produces is more than human. This is why the angels, when they sang of the birth of a king, sang about peace on earth as a result of his birth, because the kingdom that he brings that he will one day return to establish uniformly throughout the earth. We're waiting for that, so that the knowledge of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. His kingdom partakes of the character of this indescribable gift, which is an indescribable, unexplainable giving that is more than human. That's the effects that it produces, and that's the kind of king he will be, a kind of king who inspires that kind of giving. He will be the kind of king when he returns that you know now, a king whose kingdom is characterized by this giving, which is more than human. So don't forget that when you think about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming. The nature of his kingdom, which he comes, when it comes, will be a kingdom of giving, which is more than human. It'll be a day of light and a day of peace that's never been seen before upon the earth. And so the angels announce the birth of this king who is the indescribable gift, and they announce the character of his kingdom when he comes, which is peace on earth. I said the shepherds are a good example that the effects that this gift produces are more than human, because they were overflowing with a joy that could only come from God as a result of receiving this gift of saying, yes, Christ is born for me. And so they found themselves doing things that they never would have done before because they were overflowing with joy. The Corinthians are also a good example of the effects that this gift produces that are more than human. And I'll have you turn to Romans chapter 15. Verse 25, and a little bit of New Testament history. Paul wrote the letter to the Romans about a year after writing this letter, letter of 2 Corinthians to the Corinthians, and he wrote it from Corinth. So he wrote the letter of 2 Corinthians telling them to take a collection for when he came. Then he arrived in Corinth about a year later, and when he was in Corinth, he wrote this letter to the Christians who were in Rome, and this is what he said. But now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. The Macedonians gave, they were pleased to give to this gift to the believers in Jerusalem. Remember, he was encouraging the Corinthians. Remember the Macedonians. Their poverty overflowed into a wealth of generosity and liberality. But now he says, Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution. Well, the capital city of the Roman province of Achaia was Corinth. He's talking about the Corinthians. Yes, they gave to this as well. Because the indescribable gift is real. And so the effects of what I'm speaking about, of the that it inspires overflowing giving, is real as well. It was real for the Corinthians. And so the Corinthians became an example of this giving that is more than human. And so are you, an example of the giving that is more than human, because the indescribable gift is real. The nature of the gift, more than human, because the gift is God himself come to save, is real. He really was born on Christmas Day, and that's the reason why he was born. He was God come to save. The grace by which the gift is given, more than human, not even like what we call grace among each other. The word can hardly describe a grace given to those he owes nothing to, who are in fact his enemies. The grace by which the gift is given is more than human, and it's real. And so the effects this gift produces, more than human effects, even though they're done by you and me in the giving that we do to one another, more than human, are real as well. The indescribable gift is real. It's as real as Christ's birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, and it's really given to you. And so you'll find the words of the hymn writer are completely true, and they're true even for you in your case. And I'll end with this. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wondrous gift, the indescribable gift of Christ. We pray that for each one of us, your Holy Spirit would open our hearts to receive Christ as a gift, to not proudly bring any qualifications for this gift, to say this is the reason why I deserve this gift, but to come as a sinner, to come empty and say the only way I can be righteous in your sight is if you give it as a gift in Christ, and you have done this as well. We pray that for all of us who have received this gift, that your promise would be true, that Christ would enter in, would live in us, and would cause us to be those who give to others in a way that is indescribable, a way that's more than human. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.